ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Chapter 15, The Yoga of the Supreme Person, Text Number 12. Yes, thank you. Page 726, that is this version. It's text number 12 from Chapter 15. I will read from the word by word. It's a little different from the actual text, so please pay attention. Yat aditya katam tejaha jagat basayate akilam yat chandramasi yat cha aknau tat tejaha vidhi mamakam yat aditya katang tejo jagat basayate kilam yat chandramasi yat chaknao tat tejo vidhi mamakam yat aditya katang tejo jagat basayate kilam yat chandramasi yat chaknao tat tejo vidhi mamakam yat aditya katang tejo jagat basayate kilam yat chandramasi yat chaknao tat tejo vidhi mamakam. Yat aditya katang tejo jagat basayate kilam jat chandrasmasi jat chagno tat tejo vidhi mamakam. Yat aditya katang tejo jagat basayate kilam jat chandramasi jat chagno tat tejo vidhi mamakam. Yat aditya katang tejo jagat basayate kilam jat chandramasi jat chagno tat tejo vidhi mamakam. Yat aditya katang tejo jagat basayate kilam yat chandramasi yat chagno tat tejo vidhi mamakam. Yat aditya katang tejo jagat basayate kilam yat chandramasi yat chagno tat tejo vidhi mamakam. Yat aditya katang tejo jagat basayate kilam yat chandramasi yat chagno tat tejo vidhi mamakam. Yes, please. You don't want to chant? Yat aditya katang tejo jagat basayate kilam yat chandramasi yat chagno Tate Javidi Mamakam Yat, that which Aditya Katam in the sunshine, Tejaha splendor, Jagat the whole world, Basayate illuminates, Akilam entirely, Yat that which Chandramasi in the moon, Yat that which Cha also Agnau in fire, Tat that Tejaha splendor, Vidi understand, Mamakam from me. Translation: the splendor of the sun which dissipates the darkness of this whole world comes from me, and the splendor of the moon and the splendor of fire are also from me. Purport: the unintelligent cannot understand how things are taking place, but one can begin to be established in knowledge by understanding what the Lord explains here. Everyone sees the sun, moon, fire, and electricity. One should simply try to understand that the splendor of the sun, the splendor of the moon, and the splendor of electricity, or fire, are coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In such a conception of life, the beginning of Krishna consciousness, lies a great deal of advancement for the conditioned soul in this material world. The living entities are essentially the parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, and he is giving herewith the hint how they can come back to Godhead, back to home. From this verse we can understand that the sun is illuminating the whole solar system. There are different universes and solar systems, and there are different suns, moons, and planets also. But in each universe there is only one sun. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 10.21, the moon is one of the stars, nakshatranam ahang shashi. Sunlight is due to the spiritual effulgence in the spiritual sky of the Supreme Lord. With the rise of the sun, the activities of human beings are set up. They set fire to prepare their foodstuff, they set fire to start the factories, etc. So many things are done with the help of fire. Therefore, sunrise, fire, and moonlight are so pleasing to the living entities. Without their help, no living entity can live. So if one can understand that the light and splendor of the sun, moon, and fire are emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, then one's Krishna consciousness will begin. By the moonshine, all the vegetables are nourished. The moonshine is so pleasing that people can easily understand that they are living by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Without his mercy, there cannot be sun. Without his mercy, there cannot be moon. And without his mercy, there cannot be fire. And without the help of the sun, moon, and fire, no one can live. These are some thoughts to provoke Krishna consciousness in the conditioned soul. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupa Kadamayang Dadati Svapanantikam Pandehang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalang Sri Gurun Vaisnavangscha Sri Rupang Sakrajatam Sakana Raghunatam Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvetang Savarutang Parichana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devang Sri Radha Krishna Paran Sakana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vanishwari Vishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Haripriye Vansha Kalpatruvyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yat Aditya Katang Tejo, Jagat Basai Tekilam, Yat Chandramasi Jat Chaknao, Tat Tejo Vidi Mamakam. So, it's I cannot help but say it's a little bit of a controversial verse. I don't know how Gopinath does that every time I get to read on these particular technical verses. The translation reads, "The splendor of the sun which dissipates the darkness of this whole world comes from me, and the splendor of the moon and the splendor of fire also from me. Aditya Katam is the sunshine." I don't know exactly how that is built up. Katam means Gaul, and Aditya, what is Aditya? Does anyone know? You know Aditya? Anyway. You know? Okay. And it here says Jagat. So here it's translated as the whole world. Purport. The unintelligent cannot understand how things are taking place. But one can begin to be established in knowledge by understanding what the Lord explains here. Everyone sees the sun, moon, fire, and electricity. One should simply try to understand that the splendor of the sun, the splendor of the moon, and the splendor of electricity or fire are coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is quite clear. And Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, these are some thoughts to provoke Krishna consciousness in the conditioned soul. I remember that a few days ago, Bhaktavas Govinda, he explained that, I read it somewhere in the purport, it says here in the purport of the 16th text, as already explained, the Lord in his incarnation of Vyasadeva compiled the Vedanta Sutra. And it says, here the Lord is giving in summary the contents of the Vedanta Sutra. So, I'm not sure if that is already started by this verse, but that is what Bhaktavas explained to us, that part of this chapter is, and at least it starts from the 16th text, part of this chapter is a summary of the Vedanta Sutra. I many times explained that the Bhagavad Gita is sometimes also called Gita Upanishad, and it's like an Upanishad. Now what I understand from the Upanishads, you got, I think, 108 Upanishads. And how this explained to me is that they're like the headlines of the Vedas. Like you have a newspaper, and then it has a headline. And you can't really understand what it's about when you read the headline. You know a little bit, but you have to read the article to understand really what it's about. And the headline is sort of to catch your attention and also to remember it. So the Upanishads are like that. And the Bhagavad Gita is, in one sense, no exception. Although it's the Bhagavad Gita, but like I said, also called Gita Upanishad, it's the words of Krishna. But still, my experience, I used to read the Bhagavad Gita from, I think it was Sir Aldous Huxley. He's a famous writer, and he also made his own translation of Bhagavad Gita. But it's, of course, an impersonal explanation. In other words, his explanation was more or less that Krishna also comes from the impersonal Brahman. So you can't really... And Prabhupada explains the Bhagavad Gita and becomes very clear. Many times Prabhupada became... I don't want to say angry, but he became kind of like preaching against people who would misinterpret Bhagavad Gita, specifically from this first verse, Dharma Kshetra, Guru Kshetra. Sometimes people, they make an interpretation that, you know, Dharma Kshetra is the holy land called Guru Kshetra, and it's a train station in India. But sometimes people, like Dr. Radha Krishna, he was one of the... was the minister of India, was like ruling India at some point in time, and he was also a great philosopher. And I think it was before Gandhi, or I'm not sure. Anyway, he was a great politician, and he was a great scholar, and he was well respected in India. And actually, there's a whole story, because Prabhupada, he criticized him in his books. And at one time he even visited him, just when he left, was leaving his body, and he was all choked up, he couldn't speak, and it's a whole pastime. I think Dhananjaya tells the story, I'm not sure, but some devotees went there at Prabhupada when he was at the edge of his life, at the end of his life. Anyway, so he also made this interpretation that, you know, Bhagavad, you know, the Arjuna is like the soul, and Dharma Kshetra or Guru Kshetra is like the body, and like that. And Prabhupada explains, you know, it's very clear that Dharma Kshetra, or Guru Kshetra, it's a place in India. It's near Delhi, and it's a train station, and you can go there, and the actual battle took place there. So it's a part of history. But if you, so my point is, if you don't have Prabhupada's purports, you can't really understand Bhagavad Gita. Krishna also says it, that evam parampara praptam imam riyasyo vidu. And actually, just recently, I mean, I don't want to say I saw the Bhagavad Gita, because that would be a false ego, because we're not really doing anything. But I told one lady in the shop that this Bhagavad Gita comes in parampara, because she said, I have the Bhagavad Gita. I said, but, and I showed her this parampara that we have in the beginning, you know. And I explained to her that Krishna told it to Brahma, and he to Narada and Vyasadev, and then we pick it up with Lord Chaitanya, and then, you know, you have the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, or Krishna's Kaviraj, and, you know, like that, the six Goswamis, and then Prabhupada's Guru, and then Srila Prabhupada. And so this Bhagavad Gita is coming in that parampara. And we know that these purports are basically summaries from other previous purport. That's why this Bhagavad Gita is also dedicated to Baladev Vijayabhushan, who wrote the Vedanta Sutra, which is a commentary. The Govinda Bhash, it's a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. I think it's important to know this, because this book, this Bhagavad Gita, is dedicated to him. Where is that? Oh, I think it's here. Anyway, so the point is that these purports, they are written, of course, by Srila Prabhupada, but they are like summaries of... Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Next page, yes. To Srila Baladev Vijayabhushan, who presents nicely Govinda Bhash commentary on Vedanta philosophy. So, yeah, all these purports are summaries of, you know, his Guru Maharaj's purport. Bhaktisiddhanta also wrote purports on Bhagavad Gita, and so many others. So, and then Prabhupada, that is what I'm also trying to do now, Prabhupada put it in his own words. So, that is the idea. And then you can really understand this Bhagavad Gita if you read these purports. It's not Prabhupada's own interpretation. He's just repeating what he has heard from the previous acharyas. Yeah, that is true. I never read any of their Bhagavad Gitas. Like I said, Aldous Huxley, he's not in the parampara. But I never read any Bhagavad Gita of Sri Sampradaya or Rudra Sampradaya or Kumara Sampradaya. You did? Well, I mean, I don't know. I never heard he was in the Sampradaya. Oh, no, as far as I know, he wasn't. No, as far as I know, he wasn't. He was like an impersonalist. I mean, I don't know. I don't know for sure, but what we do know for sure is that Prabhupada criticized his version, and you can read some of it. I mean, Prabhupada is not just criticizing. He is quoting what Dr. Radhakrishna said, and then he is basically defeating, he's showing the reader that it's wrong what he's saying. So it's very clear that he made a misinterpretation. I mean, I've never read his Bhagavad Gita. It could be interesting to read that, because sometimes Prabhupada would also lecture from it in the 60s, 66. You have these early lectures, and he's reading at this ashram, this yoga ashram. I think he didn't have a Bhagavad Gita then, and I think he was even reading from Dr. Radhakrishna Bhagavad Gita. So it would be interesting to have a copy of that, for like historical reference, but it's not a bona fide Bhagavad Gita. Anyway, I got a little bit deviated. The point here is that it's quite straightforward. Prabhupada is explaining the unintelligent cannot understand how things are taking place. And so here Prabhupada is explaining, or Krishna is explaining, that like Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, he's giving some thoughts to provoke Krishna consciousness. The splendor of the sun, which dissipates the darkness of this whole world, comes from me. So whenever we see the sun, we can think of Krishna. And when we see this moon, we can think of Krishna. The splendor of electricity or fire, because electricity, these lights, and it's either nuclear energy or, gas or oil. And that also comes from the sun. There's no nuclear energy without power of the sun. There's no oil without the sun. There's no, gas without the sun. So indirectly, this electricity is also coming from Krishna. It's like, wind? Yeah, wind energy, of course, you know, of also wind energy, but it also comes from Krishna. Anyway, that is all quite clear. I mean, unless you want to deny that God exists, this is very straightforward. In such a conception of life, the beginning of Krishna consciousness lies a great deal of advancement for the conditioned soul in this material world. Living entities are essentially the parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, and he gives herewith the hint how they can come back to God and back to home. In other words, we have to see Krishna consciousness means that we are conscious of Krishna all the time. So that our consciousness, our mind, is thinking of Krishna. Manmana says Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. He says it twice, in the 9th chapter and in the 18th chapter. You please think of me. This is a very intimate request. He's requesting Arjuna, please think of me. So it's very intimate to tell somebody to think of me. And Krishna says that Raja Gujam, this is the most confidential knowledge. Raja Vijay, king of knowledge, and the king of secrets, Raja Gujam. This is very intimate. Like devotees, the more advanced he becomes, the more internal his relation becomes with Krishna, and the more kind of secret it becomes. It becomes it sounds a little bit strange, but it becomes a love relationship. And that is generally very, it's very private. Confidential sounds very official, but it's kind of private, So that the devotees like that. And we know from scripture, like with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he only discusses it with similar advanced devotees. He will not discuss his realizations or relationship with Krishna with devotees that are on a lower level that can't really understand it. From this verse we can understand that the sun is illuminating the whole solar system. So this is a very interesting point. Here Prabhupada says that the sun is illuminating the solar system. That is also my understanding. But like I said, it's a little bit of a controversial topic. But here Prabhupada says it very clear. The sun is illuminating the whole solar system. There are different universes and solar systems, and there are different suns, moons, and planets also. But in each universe, there is only one sun. So this is where it gets a little bit controversial. I will not say much more about it. Except for that, if you really want to get into it, then the Bhaktivedanta Institute, specifically Saraputi, wrote many books on it. And actually Prabhupada, when he was asked about this, he wrote one letter wherein he said that I will not say anything about this anymore, specifically about the moon. And he said, I leave it to the Bhaktivedanta Institute. I leave it up to them. So, and of course now we're building the Mayapur temple, and there it will be the blueprint of the universe. So we'll have to wait and see what they come up with. But it's a very controversial topic. There's some devotees that say it's like this, other devotees say it's like that, and like that. It's a little bit controversial. But I will not get into it too much. And if you want, we can discuss it after class. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 10:21, the moon is one of the stars, nakshatranam ahang shashi. Sunlight is due to the spiritual effulgence in the spiritual sky of the Supreme Lord. Yeah, so that is explained in the Brahma Sangita, that the sun is like the eye of Krishna, and that in one sense it's actually the it's kind of like the light of the Brahma Jyoti. It's not completely the same, of course, because it's one sense material, or it's not the same as the Brahma Jyoti light, but it's part of Krishna's energy. So that's what it says. That's what Prabhupada explains here. Sunlight is due to the spiritual effulgence in the spiritual sky of the Supreme Lord. So how it exactly works, I don't know. But you know, ultimately, the point is that we have a spiritual world, and this is because that's what this chapter is about. This is kind of a reflection. And Bhaktivasi, Bhaktivasi Govinda Prabhu, he explained it very nicely, that it's symbolical, this tree, because he explained about Radha and Krishna, which is the highest, and in the material world, this conjugal love is what we call it generally illicit sex. It's like the lowest. Prabhupada calls it the most degraded. So, and he gave a very nice example about Alice in the looking glass. So she was going, you didn't hear it, so I'll just repeat, it's a very interesting story. Everybody knows this story, right? Alice in Wonderland. So there's a part two, and she goes inside this mirror. And then she comes into this other strange world, you know, kind of a sort of a spiritual world. And then she wants to come back, and then she sees the house where that mirror was, you know, because she came in that house and it was another world, and then she walked around in that special garden, and so then she wanted to go back. And then the more she walked to that house, the further the house was. And then at some stage she figured it out. She walked away from the house, and then somehow or she reached the house. So he explained that is the point, that we want to be loved and we want to have love, and in order to get that, we try to enjoy the material body, you see, and it's not working, you know, because ultimately the material body dies, and then you cry, you know, you know like we're men, your wife dies, you're sad, or when, you know, when the woman, the man dies, and like that, or even worse, some other family can die, even more horrible. So it's not possible to enjoy like that. Therefore, Prabhupada says you put your love to Krishna. But in the beginning, it's difficult for us to accept that because we don't really know who is Krishna. That was Satchinanda Maharaj. He was stressing that we should know about Krishna, and when we chant, then we should think about this wonderful person. That's why it's important that we all read Krishna book. Actually, every day we should try to read a little bit Krishna book, because then we get to know Krishna, and it's very nice actually, this Krishna book. It's a wonderful, wonderful book, but we tend to forget. And I'm just reminding you that please, you read this one. Prabhupada would read it. How many authors you know that read their own books? You know, Prabhupada would read Krishna book, or he would tell other people, please read something. So it's a wonderful book, and it will also remind us of Krishna. With the rise of the sun, the activities of human beings are set up. So that's very clear. I mean, when it's dark, I was just walking today around Radhadesh, wonderful surroundings. And then you have these forests, and they look really beautiful. But then I was thinking, but when it's dark, you don't want to walk through that forest. It's scary, you know. So when the sun comes up, everything changes, you know. Everyone wakes up, man wakes up, animals wake up, the birds, they wake up. So everything starts with the sun. We move by the sun. In the winter we all get cold, especially here in this part of the world. You know, we sleep more. Like now we don't sleep so much because the sun is there, and we get up. Like I see devotees talking till 10, 11 because the sun is still there. But when it's winter, nobody's sitting out. First of all, it's of course very cold, but also it's so dark that people think, "Ah, I just go to bed now," you know. So the sun is moving us. They set fire to prepare their foodstuff. They set fire to start the factories, etc. So many things are done with the help of fire. Therefore, sunrise, fire, moonlight are so pleasing to the living entities. So we should, this is Krishna consciousness. We should understand that when we turn on the light, this is Krishna. And that's why Prabhupada would always, when he saw some tap running or some light, useless, because now this is not useless, we need it, you know. But if the light would be on in the video room, there's nobody there now, it's a waste. Nobody will come there. There's no tours anymore. So we should switch it off because it's Krishna's energy. And he has to, you know, I mean, the world, the material world, although Krishna is, of course, unlimited, the energy has to come from somewhere. You know, rather than just paying electrical bill, devotees are distributing books, that money is coming in and it's going out. So if you switch on that light, then that money will be gone. You see, this is also like, it's transcendental in one sense, but it's like karma. So that money will be gone. This is money burning. And money, of course, we don't call it money, we call it Lakshmi. And Lakshmi, of course, is an expansion of Radharani. So to be frugal means not to waste money. It's a sign of devotion. Radha means devotion. You know, she's the how do you say, epiphany, like the culmination, like the symbol, the best devotee. She's the best devotee, the symbol of devotion. Like in the nectar of devotion, there's what, how many? 64 qualities of Radharani. So many qualities of Radharani. She's the best devotee. And so this Lakshmi, she's an expansion of Radharani. So if we waste Lakshmi, then it's not devotional. You see? So to save money, it's a sign of a devotion. Prabhupada sometimes also would say it's Krishna's blood. You know? So yeah, we should be very Krishna conscious. And if we're Krishna conscious, we don't want to waste that money. Because it has to come from somewhere. Some karmi or whatever, he works for it. That is, again, it's energy, and then we take it, and then that person, he gets benefit. But if we waste that money, then, you know, it's not good for us. He gave the money to Krishna, but still, if we don't put it to good use, it will not be good for us. Anyway, it's just to, you know, get a little bit deeper in our meditation, in our manmana, in our thinking about Krishna. In our Krishna consciousness. Krishna, let me read this again. So if one can understand that the light and splendor of the sun, moon, fire are emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, then one's Krishna consciousness will begin. So that's what I was trying to explain in the beginning, that, again, I mean, Krishna did it already also in the 11th chapter. So many, like, I am this, I am the shark, I am the mountain, Himalayas. So now again he's kind of doing that, and it is also because the Bhagavad Gita is like a summary, because that's actually what I was trying to explain. I forgot my point. It's a summary of the Vedas, and this particular chapter is a summary of the Vedanta Sutra. So the whole Bhagavad Gita, that's why it's sometimes a little bit technical. The whole Bhagavad Gita, it's a summary of all the Vedas, like we have in the 11th canto called the Uddhava Gita, which was spoken to Uddhava. And it's a more devotional and more focused on bhakti, because Uddhava is asking more specific question. So, and Bhagavad Gita is like very broad. It's for a very broad audience. World audience. Maybe universe audience, you know. But at least for the whole world is Bhagavad Gita. For everyone. Everybody can understand Bhagavad Gita. In India, everybody knows. Not everybody. Now it's changing, but I think still 50%, if you drive a train, 50% will know one sloka of Bhagavad Gita. You go to India, you can ask them. And they will not, you don't even have to ask, they will just go like this. They will recite, Sarvanam Vidyagyamam, they will recite one sloka. That's why it's important for us to know the Sanskrit. Because in India you need to preach like that. You need to know the Sanskrit. And then you can try to make them understand what is the real understanding of that Sanskrit, but you have to know the Sanskrit, otherwise they will not accept it. Okay, let me finish. Without their help, no living entity can live. So if one can understand that light and splendor of the sun, moon and fire emanating from Krishna, one's Krishna consciousness will begin. By the moonshine, all the vegetables are nourished. So this is another kind of controversial statement. I don't know if it's common knowledge. Is that common knowledge? I don't know. Is it common knowledge that from the moonshine, vegetables get their nourishment and also taste? I think it is, no? Because huh? No, no, but I think farmers also know about this. And I'm not sure if it's common knowledge, but... Right. No, but I'm thinking about like scientists, if they accept this. I'm curious actually. But the point is that I think they sometimes would... Because, you know, we're talking about electricity. So sometimes they would grow vegetables under lights. And then it didn't have the same taste. So I think like that, they kind of discovered that it needs moonlight. Because it doesn't only give nourishment, but it also gives a specific taste. So the moonlight, because that was also another thing where the scientists seem to be wrong. Because they're saying that the moonlight is a reflection from the sun. Right? That's what they say. But how can it then give this nourishment, this taste to the vegetables, if it's just a reflection? And it's explained in the Bhagavatam that there is like a grass and it's burning, sort of. And it, anyway, I don't know. It's another very difficult thing to explain. But the point is that it seems that there is some light emanating from the moon. Some specific light coming from the moon. So, you know, just to show you that the scientists, they have some things that they just don't know. And we have the information from the Vedas. And that is what Prabhupada is referring to here. Because, like I said, it's a summary study. You have to, if you want to go further, you have to read Srimad Bhagavatam. There it's more explained in detail. And then, of course, Chaitanya Charitamrita. The moonshine is so pleasing that people can easily understand that they are living by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, on moonshine, I don't know if you experience it, it's also kind of cooling. You ever had that experience? Like now it's summer. And if you would walk during the night and there is a full moon, it will be cooling. You never had that? Cooling. Froid. Pas froid, mais... Ouais. Fresh. Ouais, frais. Le lune. De lune. La lumière de lune. C'est fresh. Oui? I mean, you agree? You experience this? Also, right? I mean, it's a very subtle thing. I'm just trying to explain that there is some light coming from that moon. It lights the whole, if it's full moon, it lights the whole sky. It's very light. It's amazing. It's almost like the sun when it's a full moon. It's so light. What do you mean? I see. Right. Yeah. But I broke my hip. I was running, but I'm pretty sure it was a moonless night. Was completely dark. So in one sense it's inauspicious, you know. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not really coming up, very far away, but he was born on Ghor Punim, when the Nim is, what is it? Punim, full moon, no? Anyway, so that is very auspicious. Of course, at the same time, we also know that like with the police and the fire, they have much work in the hospitals on the full moon, because people get a little bit crazy. Like on Ekadasi, tomorrow is Ekadasi, it's Ekadasi, 11th day. Das means 10, Eka 1, 10 plus 1, 11. It's the 11th day after either the full moon or after the no moon, the waxing moon. So that is also... Actually, materially, it is an inauspicious day. Like, generally, you know, unfortunately, I'm traveling tomorrow. But generally, devotees don't travel on that day. Prabhupada would generally not travel. Or if he would travel, I think it would at least start early in the morning. But generally, devotees don't like to travel on a Ekadasi. Oh, is that true? Oh, thank you. Because I didn't pack yet. I thought, I'm just going to do it tomorrow. Okay. I better hurry up before the sun goes under. Okay, so then that is a trick. I didn't know that trick. So, yeah, but in one sense, materially, generally, my experience, I'm from Holland, there's a lot of wind in Holland, but on Ekadasi, generally, it would always blow the wind, very, very hard. Generally, would also rain. It's a kind of a tough day, you know, materially. Like sometimes, devotees also fight more on Ekadasi, like arguments, you have to be careful. That's why generally we chant extra rounds, to control the mind more. And on the other side, it's a very spiritual day. So if you do chant more, and you read more, and you can make so much advancement, and you can, it's a very good day for fasting also. Because it's a very pure day. It's a little bit like Vrindavan. Like if you go to Vrindavan, everything is times thousand. So if you chant one time Krishna, it's times thousand. Right? It's like that. Vrindavan is like that. But if you make one mistake, it's also times thousand. It's like that. So Ekadasi is a little bit like that. It is a very auspicious day, but if you don't use it properly, it can be a disaster, you know? So you have to treat it with respect. And that's what you see generally devotees do. They do an extra effort on Ekadasi. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also explains that it's like a day to faire l'addition, make the account, make like a summary, where am I in my spiritual life? Like, you know, unfortunately many times you'll see that devotees, they sometimes oversleep on Ekadasi, because it's a little bit tough to get up, in general, at least that's my experience. It's a little bit tougher to get. So it's like a little bit of a test, Ekadasi. It's a little bit of a test. You can see how advanced am I. And therefore it is good to fast. Prabhupada says at least you can eat a little fruit and not waste too much time with eating. Or eat once, just eat the lunch. Some devotees do that. They skip the breakfast and they just eat the lunch. Or you can do full fast or just drink water. But the main thing is you do more. More chanting, more service. Well, not even service is good, but specifically Prabhupada, I think Prabhupada said specifically you should read more and chant more on Ekadasi, right? Because he is all into service. And I'm checking with Arjuna. Or should you do more service also? I think you can do it. More everything. More Krishna. That's the idea. More reading, more chanting, more service. But it's a little bit, in one sense, because that's what I'm trying to explain about Bhagavad, it's also a day for reflection. But it's a very serious day. That's the main point. Okay, let me... Tomorrow. That's why I'm taking my time to explain it. You know? So, and of course, no eating of grains and beans and like that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think it says in Chaitanya Bhagavat, to eat grains on Ekadasi is as bad as eating dog meat. It is very bad. So please don't eat grains. That is the least you should do. Generally, that is all I do. I'm trying to be very careful. I'm very conscious that it's Ekadasi, and I know things can go wrong, and I have to be a little bit more tolerant. And that is also very much to do with the moon. That's the point. Like the full moon creates also, because you know it has a lot of power. And like I said, dark moon also, in one sense, it is in one sense also very powerful. So like that, the devotee, he's very conscious of all these things. Like we have also Vastu. This is also, the devotee is very conscious of Krishna's power. But, you know, essence of Bhagavad Gita, of course, is Sarvanam Pritjagya. You just surrender to Krishna, and then it doesn't matter. But it doesn't mean that we have to give up all intelligence. We can use our intelligence. But the main point of Bhagavad Gita is that we just surrender to Guru and Krishna. That's the main thing. That's the whole Bhagavad Gita. And that's why Prabhupada says, you can become Krishna conscious in 1 second. Because any second you can surrender to Krishna. But to do that, generally we know it takes many, many years. But in theory, it's possible to do it right now. But You know, I can't do it. But maybe someone here can do it. It's possible. Just know that it's possible. It's surrender can happen any second. And sometimes we might be forced. We can die any second. And then you really need to surrender. You need to think, okay, now Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. You need to be there. You know, not think of anything else. Just chant, you know, think of Krishna. Without His mercy, there cannot be sun. Without His mercy, there cannot be moon. And without His mercy, there cannot be fire. And without the help of sun, moon, and fire, no one can live. So I a little bit explained it. These are some thoughts to provoke Krishna consciousness in the conditioned soul. So any questions? Or comments? Or any corrections or any discussion? Yeah, he says it here also in the next verse. I supply the juice of life to all vegetables. What's the Sanskrit? Soma bhutva rasatmaka. Rasa means taste. Supplying the juice. Rasa atmakaha. So he's giving the ras to the atmas, to the vegetables. Soma. Soma is the moon. And ausadi, that's vegetables. Ausadi sarva. So that explains more detail, Krishna, that we do tomorrow. So should we discuss a little bit more, or we want to chant Hare Krishna? Or feel free to leave. I think we can discuss a little more now. Or should we chant? Well, Manu isn't here, and you know, talking about Bhagavad Gita is also chanting. Thousand. Well, I think I heard it from Ayendra. Yeah. But I thought it was common knowledge, no? Huh? No? He's asking from where have I heard that everything you do in the Holy Dham, specifically Vrindavan, is times 1,000. You also know that, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. Well, where is it mentioned? Do you have any idea? Okay. No. But I've experienced it. You've been there, right? It goes very quick. You make one mistake, oh Krishna, immediately you get a reaction. And you know also why, what mistake you made. It's very powerful. Yeah, it's true. But of course in Vrindavan you have also Radha Krishna. You see, so it is still more powerful. In fact, you have 5,000 Radha Krishnas there, you know. I mean, and these temples are thousands, well, maybe not thousands of years old, because most temples are hundreds of years old, but, I mean, Krishna was there. He was there 5,000 years ago. And you can feel it, right? It's not the same as Radha is, no? It maybe depends on your consciousness, I guess. But for me, it's very, I mean, I can feel the difference between Radhadis and Amsterdam. I mean, and it's not just the nice forest and things, it's very powerful. But Yeah, Vrindavan, it's like another... like some people tell me that I cannot stay too long in Vrindavan. It's just too much. It's like, I sometimes give the example, it's like you're going on the altar here. So you can look at the pujaris, they're very serious. They're never smiling generally. Because it's serious, you're dealing with God. And you're there on the altar. You can feel, I mean, if you're that close, you can feel the power, the energy. And you be very careful. And pujaris also have so many stories that if they make a mistake, then also they get quick reaction. No, here. And any pujari, long time pujari can tell you stories. So Vrindavan is like that. It's like you're taking a rickshaw from Krishna Balaram Mandir to Loy Bazaar, but it's like you're going from this side of the altar to that side of the altar. You understand? Vrindavan is non-different from Krishna. So it's like you're walking on the altar. It's very powerful. You see? So when you walk there, it's like you're walking on the altar here. It's the same. But you think, oh, I'm just walking, but you're walking on Krishna. You know, it's very special. So even you have seen one tiny ant, that is a devotee. You know, it's very special. You have not been there, right? No, then you don't know. You have to go there and then you'll know. Because here the devotees... Have you been there, Diana? Vrindavan? No? You've been there? You've been there, right? Yeah, so we four have been there. And yeah, it's very special, bro. You should go there. No, Mayapur is the same. Yeah, it's more or less the same. But Vrindavan, it's more sweet, more condensed. I mean, it's the same, but it's a little bit different. Yeah. Yeah, as far as I know. And is Bhagavad Gita part of that, you know? Is this number 107 or? We don't know. We have to look it up. I think this is like a special Upanishad. You have 108 Upanishads, and this is considered also an Upanishad. It's like the 109th. So, 109. But this is very technical. You just need this one. If you read this one, and we have one, the Sri Isha Upanishad, Prabhupada translated that one. So that will be enough. You can it's sometimes called like that, Gita Upanishad. Huh? I don't know, I don't think so. I'm not sure. I think generally you have 108 Upanishad and Isha Upanishad is one of them. And then Gita is also considered an Upanishad. It's like special category. But the point is that there are the headlines of the Vedas and this is also like headlines. And therefore it's difficult to understand without purports. Okay, it's getting late. I think we should stop. Can chant a little bit. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Anybody likes to chant? You like to sing? No? Maybe you'd like to sing a little bit, Dharani? Yeah, sure. No, I can continue after. Or maybe someone else comes. Huh? Right, well, I mean, I should pack, but, you know, chanting Hare Krishna is more important. So now we'll chant. No, I mean Yadrani. She will sing a little bit.